Hey, what's up? This your girl Yasmin Nicole, and welcome to the first episode of the Geeky Natural Mind podcast. I'm so excited for this. I'm like so excited right now, but I'm a little nervous, so you probably would hear it in my voice how nervous I am. I hope you enjoy what I bring to the podcast world. And I hope that you can hear me well, the sound is good, and it's not too much background noise. So let's get started. Again, my name is Yasmin Nicole, not Jasmine or Yasmin, because I have to make that pretty clear, because like when you tell somebody your name is Yasmin, they quickly say, oh, Jasmine or Yasmin. I'm like, no, it's Yasmin. So I just wanted to put that out there, so you know, just for you guys to know. So I want to throw some disclaimers out so we can pretty much be on the same page. So the first one I want to put out there, that these are my opinions, and also if I have any guests, these are their opinions. Please respect my opinions and also their opinions. Everybody's not perfect. You know, I just want to bring my personality, you know, to this podcast. So the next thing is also a curse word. 2, 3, or 10 of them might come out, and I'm trying not to curse as much on this podcast, but I'm not perfect, so, you know, I'll try to keep it at a minimum, but I'm not making any promises. Like, I'm a realist, so I'm, you know, whatever comes to me, I'm just going to say it. But if you don't want to listen, then don't listen. Also, this is a judgment-free zone. I love everyone. I pass no judgment against anyone. It's all love here and positive vibes and energy. So come to our little positivity world here. So basically, here now I'm going to talk about a little bit about me, because like, who are you? So again, my name is Yasmin. I am 29 and I am a mom of three, a single mom. My oldest daughter is Maya. She is 10. My son, Thomas, is 3. And the baby, Austin, is 1. So, two of my children, Maya and Thomas, are on the autism spectrum. And basically, I'm going to talk a lot about autism and bringing autism awareness and support, you know, to this show. So hopefully, you know, I can bring support in it, because there's not a lot of support, you know, in our world. So hopefully I can bring that to you. So I'm always getting nervous, like when I try to talk about myself, like, you know, for, you know, my friends and family that really know me, you know, they know me, but like, this is going to be posted everywhere, and, you know, people are going to have judgment towards you. So, so I always get a little nervous, even though like, I'm okay with like being outspoken and, you know, talking about myself, but I'm going to try my best. I am a huge nerd. I love comic books. I love video games. I'm a huge wrestling fan. I love sports, my children, pizza, mac and cheese. yeah, I love those things. You know, this kind of sounds like, you know, like back in the day they have those video, like people would send videos of themselves telling them about themselves, like when they try to like go on a date or something. It kind of feels like that. And it's just funny to me. I feel like a big dork right now. But that's pretty much like the short version of my life. I live in Pennsylvania. I also love music, and hopefully, I mean, I might do some music things on the show, but for now, I'm just going to, you know, stick to pretty much what's, you know, on my mind. So let's get started, shall we? Mind you, I'm still talking with a whole bunch of nerves, and it's 3:27 in the morning. Should be getting sleep, but in mom life, do you really ever get sleep? No. So I'm going to put the disclaimers out there. I talked a little bit about myself. Let's talk about my children. So, like I said, Maya and Thomas are on the autism spectrum. And I'm going to briefly talk about how, you know, I found out they had autism. You know, like what awareness that I can bring, because you know, the more awareness that we can bring together, the more people know about autism and the different signs and the different symptoms, I would say. So I'll start with my son and my daughter pretty much got the same diagnosis on the same day in December. So this is like very fresh and very recent. So it's we're in May right now. Yeah, we're in May. So I found out in December. It was before Christmas break, like I said, on the same day. So I tried to think that I kind of am done grieving about it, if that makes sense. It's really hard to hear that, you know, your children, you think that everything is fine, and then they're really not. Like, you know, they're going to have to deal with this for the rest of their life, and then you get that guilt where you feel like it's your fault, and you feel guilty. And I felt that way for a long time. And then like a lot of other distractions and other things were going on at the same time. And I felt like kind of like drained. So, you know, on top of what I was already going through, and then you know, just hearing this, I felt like, you know, how much more I can take at this point. So I think honestly, I'm finally getting over that phase where I'm not grieving anymore. Like, it's like the healing process. I know it kind of sounds stupid, like you're mourning a death, but it's not really a mourning a death. It's just more so like trying to deal with it and be strong for them. So like that's what it was basically about. It wasn't like kind of like mourning it. That was more like accepting it, dealing with it, and moving on from it. So yes, maybe the same, kind of the same, but different scenarios. So I feel like I'm a stronger person because I have to have a stronger mentality, because the days get rough, the tantrums get really bad, and the meltdowns are horrendous. So I think that I'm handling my personal feelings very well than if I found out about this, I'll say about 10 years ago. I probably wouldn't been able to handle it, but despite, you know, everything that I went through, you know, those years, it made me have a stronger mindset and handle it better if I'm just finding out about this. I hope y'all don't mind the rain because it's raining right now, and like I love the rain and it's very calming to me, so I hope the rain is okay. I wanted to open my window because it was a little warm. In the Geeky Natural Mom headquarters, aka my bedroom, and it's getting louder, so I'm gonna take a minute and close the windows because that might be a little distracting. Okay, I'm back, and I hope you don't mind that little brief intermission. You know, you can get a snack or something. But I know that would have been very distracting if I kept that window open. So I'm just going to have to be hot, but I do have the fan on. So anyway, back to what I was talking about. I wanted to, like I said, I feel like a stronger person dealing with their diagnosis, and it made me a better person. I mean, it's still a long process, but I think, you know, from a few months ago, I'm in a better place. So, when you speak about someone in the spectrum, and I want to really make this clear because I've been dealing with this a lot, and also I know other parents have been dealing with this. Like, you know, when you talk about the spectrum is pretty broad, and then you're talking about, you know, people that are different. Like, you cannot put someone in a box saying that you're all the same, the spectrum is the same, and it is really not. So Maya and Thomas are on different parts of the spectrum. So if I tell someone, you know, they're on the spectrum, you can't say, well, oh, my so-and-so is on the spectrum, because again, the spectrum is very broad, and you know, every person is different. And I like kind of reiterate that a lot to people in like conversations that I have, so people will understand, like, you know, everybody is different. So don't kind of like say my so-and-so has it and think that, you know, your family member or your child has it, and like you're kind of putting them in the same box. I hope I kind of made that, you know, understandable from what I'm saying. But I felt that is known because it's a lot of conspiracy theories about autism. It's a lot of like, it's not real. This is something that's made up and blah, 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 blah. Like, this is real. This is my everyday life. This is other parents and caregivers' lives, you know, that deal with this every day. And we gotta start bringing awareness to it, because now with the information that the CDC just came out with a couple weeks ago, we need to be aware of, you know, our friends in the spectrum, and it's more people are going to be diagnosed with it. So it's important for us to really understand what autism is. And in no way that I'm an expert, I am still learning myself. So I'm just really going off of experience and research and, you know, from what I see with my kids. So I can't really speak on anyone else, you know, situation but my own. So let's go in further about like each child's diagnosis. We can start with Thomas because he's a little younger, and you know, it was pretty much a lot to deal with. So when Thomas was 1.5, he really wasn't speaking. Like, it was just like complete silence. And you know, it was a lot of baby talk, which it still is to this day, and he's now 3. So I spoke to his pediatrician about it, and I asked her, you know, he's not really talking, you know, he's not communicating very well, and I hope that it's something that we can do. And I get that, you know, boys develop a little slower than girls, but like, you know, like you have that intuition where, you know, something isn't right, just go with it. If you feel like it's not right, then pretty much just go with it. I have Thomas here with me. He pretty much feels like I'm not really there, so he'll like come and hug me and like want to sleep on me. So if you hear like a little breathing, that's him laying on me. So back to what I was saying at hand, when he wasn't doing anything. So I waited till he was 2 to see, maybe a little over 2, to see if he would speak, and he wouldn't speak. Like, he still wouldn't speak. He still wouldn't talk. So now at this time, I've reached out to this program in my county, you know, that helps with what they call a developmental delay. So, and I know every state and city differs, but, you know, for where I live, they come out to your house and do an evaluation, you know, to see where their sensory skills are, their cognitive skills are, pretty much those things. And then they see, you know, where they lie, you know, like developmental wise. So they diagnosed him with the developmental delay, and we started the PEC system, which is the picture exchange communication system. And what that is, it's like little pictures that you exchange pretty much to communicate the things you need and want. And that's pretty much the short version, and I like wanted to make it clear as possible and not like go on a tangent of what it is. So I think that's pretty much the short version of it. And the PECs wasn't really working. He used it more for wanting music because he loves music. He loves to sing nursery rhymes. He loves to sing like, you know, this like children's songs, like Old MacDonald and things like that. So like he would use the PECs for the music, but not, you know, to communicate. So I always thought that he would, you know, like he would kind of like, not like, how should I put it? Like, he wouldn't get better because I knew it was something else. And that's the thing with like, when you're meeting with like coordinators and teachers and things like that, they'll try to tell you like about their child. Like, you know, they've been around your child for years and years and years. And, you know, if you feel like they're trying to tell you something that's not correct, please use your voice and say, listen, I know what my child does and what you're saying is incorrect. And, you know, hopefully, like, you know, y'all have a miscommunication, like, always make sure that you communicate your needs and your wants as far as the coordinator is concerned. And for the coordinator, their job is to help you and make sure that you get the services that you need. So they're pretty somewhat like a social worker, but their job is to make sure that, you know, your experiences with the services are met. So don't feel like, you know, they tell you a bunch of stuff and you have to go along with it, because you really don't. So whatever you feel like you can bring to that, then do so. And we're going to go further into like IEPs and also being your child's advocate, because it is so important for your child to have an advocate, even if it's someone outside that can be their advocate, or yourself. Like, I'm going to go further into that in another show about being your child's advocate, because that's very important, especially when you're going into meetings, and it will be a lot of meetings to make sure that your needs are met and your child's needs are met. So back to the evaluation part. So we're at the stage where it was the developmental delay. And, you know, we've been seeing a speech therapist and like a special instructor, they called it. They pretty much worked with him throughout the week and, you know, do different things besides the PECs and all that stuff. But some things weren't really working. Again, my intuition is telling me something else. So I had a conversation with the coordinator and said, listen, I want to do a further evaluation, you know, as far as it being, you know, something else. And that process was such a pain. Like, I don't know, like, how is like the process in like different states and stuff, like email me or like DM me, like how like different it is as far as like evaluations. Like, I live in Pennsylvania and everything is like, wait, everything is a waiting list. So when I wanted to do the evaluation with CHOP, which is the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, the wait time was from 6 to 18 months. So like, people are actually waiting between 6 and 18 months just to be seen by a developmental pediatrician. So, and in my county, they have a program called Catch, and they pretty much kind of do the same thing. And their wait time was 4 to 6 months. So while we were on a wait list for that, I like explored different avenues with my coordinator, because, like, you know, it can be something really severe, and who wants to wait 6 months, you know, to find out a diagnosis? Like, when you find out like your child has a developmental delay, it's some support, but then it's really not, because it's not like a medical diagnosis, if that makes sense. So, you know, it's not prescribed by a psychologist or a developmental pediatrician. So it's pretty much, you know, you're going to get these services, you know, to try to, you know, help out your child. And then if we feel like it's something more, you know, we'll push to those avenues. So now we're at this point where I finally got another evaluation as far, you know, to see if he was in the spectrum or not or anything else. So I got the diagnosis and they called me and said, you know, Thomas has autism. And I really appreciated his because like it's different stages, like, you know, from with the county I live in, it's birth to three, and then it's three to five, and I don't really know what's kind of after that because, you know, I haven't really explored that part yet. So they were very calming and telling me, because like I was in a frantic, like, because, you know, you just found out, you know, something is wrong with your child and like you don't know what to do. And I appreciate her being so calming and like understanding, you know, to put my mind at ease, because it gets really hard. So I really appreciate my new coordinator, you know, for preschool, that she was very calming about it and very like open to answering any questions that I have. And also, like, don't be afraid to ask questions. Like, they are there for you and your child. So whatever questions, they can be stupid, non-stupid. I mean, there's never a stupid question, but they're there to help you. Yeah, they collect a check, but they are supposed to be there to help you. So don't be afraid to ask questions. Like, ask all the questions you want. That's what they're there for. So now we can kind of get into Maya's diagnosis. I always noticed, like, you know, Maya, because of her, like, her attitude and her behavior towards people. So she got her evaluation done at school. And now I'm thinking, like, you know, maybe it's something else. I'm not thinking, you know, she's, you know, on the spectrum too. I'm just thinking maybe it's just a behavioral issue. I'm not sure. So when I got that phone call that same day, it was just like a smack in the face, pretty much. And it's like, damn, like, how do I do this? Like, how do I do this on my own and get the support that I need? That was like the first like thought in my mind. Like, how do I do this, you know, on my own, and how do I get the help that I need? It's very important to be resourceful, because like, the support is very limited. And even though, like, you know, autism is getting more mainstream in a sense, it should be more support. So that's my job, to bring awareness and support for others, and not just for like any disabilities or illnesses, just moms that are just like just going through it. You know, I want to be that, you know, platform and that support where moms can, you know, just feel like, you know, yeah, she going through the same things that I'm going through. Like, it's nice to hear, you know, someone, you know, feels what I feel, you know. So like, that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to do the show, and I just wanted to talk shit like everybody else. But as far as Maya's diagnosis, I feel like it's kind of like more to her diagnosis. Like, I feel like, you know, it's something else. Like, it's besides autism, it's something else. So I'm trying to look into getting a diagnosis done by a developmental pediatrician, or like some other avenue where she can get another evaluation, because like, you know, her behaviors, her attitude, it's like a lot. Like when I tell you, like sometimes it just gets to the point where I just want to give up, because like you want her to understand, you know, you're saying something for a reason. You're not saying it just to say it. And I feel like when I give her directions, you know, she kind of just takes it as if I'm kind of, how should I put it? Like, I'm not charging at her, because that's not what I'm trying to say. I guess basically to get her understand, and you're basically, you know, your child's coach. So routines are definitely important, because if you don't have some type of routine or some type of like structure, like shit goes awry. So like I constantly have to coach her and tell her, you know, why this is in place and why you should do this. And I had a conversation about this recently with someone, and they said, why do you explain yourself so much? And I had to explain to them, it's not that I'm explaining myself so much, is that I had to repeat it, because, you know, some things they understand if you do it in a repetitive manner. So if I have to repeat what I'm saying a few times, I'm saying it because this is how she'll understand, and she won't get overwhelmed and have a tantrum or a meltdown. So you're pretty much like a coach and a cheerleader and everything in between, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, being your children being on the spectrum. So I hope that was like the short version of their diagnosis. If you want me to go further into it, I will be happy to. But I feel like, you know, that's pretty much where I wanted to hit, you know, the key points. So I think it's important to have support. And why I keep saying this, because again, support is very limited, and I want my listeners to know that, you know, they have a voice and they can use their voice to stand up and have that support that they need. And when we talk about support, we talking about like the days when like majority of us grew up and we had that village. Like, we do not have that fucking village anymore. Like, it's more so you're doing everything on your own, and like there is no village anymore. Like, how can we get that village to really, you know, raise our children the way we want to, if that makes sense? Like, when we had that village, like, it was so much love, and everybody felt like, you know, they can, you know, they're counted on. Like, you know, that child can count on all these people caring about them. So I feel like now, like, we don't have that village. Like, how can we get that village back? Even if we don't have a family, like our close friends and love and the people that we love, like, how can we get them to be that village? Because I think that's very important for the child's growth and development, and to know that they're loved. So like, I hope that, you know, it will be more of that village mentality, you know, ongoing, since we know that there are going to be more diagnoses of autism. So I really hope and pray that, you know, we really get that village, just not just for, like I said, I'm just speaking in general for any child to have that village. So I had a conversation with a few friends on social media that are moms, like, you know, we're friends, and I connect more with everyone on social media because, of number one, I live in the suburbs and like everybody's back home in Philly, so that's like, and kind of spread out. So this is how I communicate, you know, through social media. So like, I basically kind of, I don't share too much of my life, but I share like, you know, my daily life with them, because this is how I, you know, communicate with them. I can't visit them all the time, or I can't go out of state all the time. So, you know, I am grateful for social media for that purpose. So I had a conversation with two moms, and they were basically saying, like, you know, I didn't really tell anybody. Like, I didn't even know that, you know, their children were on the spectrum. Like, they just, you know, like, we just had a conversation because I bring a lot of awareness on my social media. So they, you know, they feel like they can actually talk to someone that's actually going through it, which is pretty dope, because sometimes I need someone to talk to. And I mean, my friends that don't really know what I'm going through, but they sympathize and they, you know, they want to, you know, give well wishes. But, you know, now that I have, you know, mommy friends that understand what I'm going through, you know, it's easier for me to kind of talk about it and, you know, not keep it to myself, because like all that pent up frustration will like turn into a breakdown. And like after that, like, you're completely fucked. So I'm not trying to get to that point. I'm trying to like talk about it more. I'm trying to connect with other people and other mommy friends and joining different support, online support groups. Cause like, if I manifest this, like, I hope it happens. Like, I want, you know, in where I live to have a place where moms can actually like talk to each other, like in person, face to face, and not even moms, just dad, just parents, caregivers in general, where it's a place where it's like a safe haven and they can talk about the things that they're going through. And, you know, if they have any resources that you might not know about, they can kind of like, you know, go back and forth. I mean, they do have a program here, but like, actual, like, I mean, it's spread out in the county, but like, we need one for the city, because I know that people are dealing with this, you know, as I am and as my friends are. So I hope that, you know, maybe me or someone else can like kind of manifest that to happen, because like, it's much needed. Like, the support is very, very limited in the government, unfortunately, with family, with friends. Like, it's very important to have some type of support system. Even, you know, if it's not like in the physical aspect, just somebody saying like, hey, like, you're doing just fine. I mean, I'll be there for you. I don't mind, you know, like, shit, I'm going through the same thing. So you're doing great. You're doing fine. So that's the type of positivity and love that we need, you know, as caregivers, because like, it's not a lot of that. It's a lot of shaming. It's a lot of judgment. And I hope that this show could bring that to listeners. So, and going into like the shaming and the judgment. Like, it's hard to like really put yourself out there, especially like on social media or even like family and friends, because I think that's with the conversation that I had with them, I think that was like the main concern. They felt like they were going to be judged, or they felt like they were going to be shamed. So we have to be more empathetic of what the person is going through. I mean, you don't have to understand it, but, you know, at least have some empathy towards, you know, someone, just period. Not just, you know, when I just want to like really reiterate that I'm not just speaking for a select group. I'm speaking for everyone. So I hope you guys understand that. So I think it's really important that, again, positivity, like I'm all about positive vibes. I'm all about, like, I'm like such a hippie. Like, I'm all about the vibes and positive energy. Like, I'm all about that. And I think that it should be more of that, especially, you know, with everything going on in our world. Like, we don't need people on top of that telling us how we live our lives or how we need to parent our child, especially, you know, if, you know, they have special needs. So I think we should be more open to learning and not, you know, be so shameful and be so judgmental towards people, because like that shit is just, it's not worth it. Like, you spewing hate and saying all these mean things, and it's not really, I mean, it's not really doing anything. You're wasting your time. So I just hope we can kind of get past that and just, you know, be, I'm not saying, oh, peace and love and nothing like that. Well, yes, I am, but people can be more empathetic, if that makes sense, because now I'm like starting to go on a tangent. But how can we bring that support? How can we bring awareness to, you know, people that might know? And I think from my experience is actually talking to someone, actually learning about it, actually, you know, wanting to help, wanting to put yourself out there to say, like, I care. I don't understand, but I care. I'm here for you. So I think that's important, where, you know, to bring awareness, to research, be resourceful, ask questions, talking about it. Like, we need to stop having so much stigma towards everything and actually talk about things and learn from them. So I think that's very important in bringing awareness to other people. So I just hope I bring that. And I think I'm going to wrap it up here. I think I kind of touched on everything I wanted to. But if not, you know, that'll be on another show. I hope you enjoyed my first episode of the Geeky Natural Mom Podcast. I hope the quality was good. I hope it wasn't too much background noise. I hope I was clear of what I was saying. I hope, you know, I hope this was a great experience for you. And feel free, if you want to reach out to me, my social medias are, I'm on Instagram at Geeky Natural Mom. I'm on Twitter at Yazzy Is Who I Am. And that is Yazzyiz Who I Am. I'm also on Facebook, which I need to get on more for my brand. I'm on Facebook personally, but not like, I need to be on there more for my brand. And that's also Geeky Natural Mom. I also have a YouTube channel. So at Geeky Natural Mom, check out my older videos. If there's something that you see from the YouTube videos that you want me to put on the show, I'll be happy to do that. I'm trying to put out as much videos as I can because I have a lot of footage, and I am like taking my time in editing all this footage. Like, my life is so hectic and I'm trying to like do all this stuff at once. But I hope you guys check everything out. I hope you had a good experience today, and until next time, peace and love.